Chapter 23. Our Legacy. Battle Barge Charybdis Embarkation Deck. Mercifully for the intake of refugees, the ship they cowered aboard was more than large enough to accommodate them. Upon the return of the Draconis, Zetos had informed the shipmaster of the civilians crammed aboard the gunship's hold. Almost 50 of them, survivors of Rampart. They looked sickly, weak, and broken. The sergeant had assured Edician that none were infected by the Death Guard toxins unleashed upon their kith and kin. Even after he had read the report from Egan Gargo, Edician still wanted to see for himself. A shipmaster must know the cargo of his vessel, every last scrap of it. A glass attached over his left eye allowed Edician to observe each refugee in detail from the high gantry overhead. They could not see him. Who would look anyway? But he could see them well enough. Men, women, and even some children, wearing overalls and the remnants of atmosphere suits, stared dully around the vast shadowy hold. Their saviors had since departed, leaving the Draconis for the engineers to run maintenance over. Zon would be back again soon. He always was. Edician watched the refugees move in a herd, huddled together by fear, desperately clinging to one another. It saddened him to see it, what the galaxy had made of his species, the lesser, non-genetically enhanced version of it. "Is this what we shall become?" he whispered to himself, but the words almost caught in his throat when he saw the girl. He nearly missed her, she was so small, so young. She hid behind a woman's storm shawl, not her mother, judging by the disregard the older woman showed her. It wasn't the fact the girl was orphaned that gave Edician such pause. It was her face, her timid but gentle bearing. She clung to that storm shawl so tenderly. "Throne!" Edician gasped. He had to brace himself against the rail of the overlooking gantry to stop from falling forwards, heart racing, breath hammering through his chest. "My Lisa!" Tears ran down Edician's face, but didn't interfere with the visual feed from his glass. Before the Charybdis, before service to the Great Crusade, he had had a daughter. But the universe had been cruel, and her life was abruptly taken. Religion was a fading concept back then, but Edician had prayed. He had prayed to the throne, clutching a proscribed treatise in his hands. He had it still, in spite of the danger it represented to his career and his freedom. Lectitio Divinitatis. The posited belief that the Emperor on Terra was a god. Edician's prayers remained unanswered. He had put the book away and forgotten about its lies. Until now. "Not her," he mumbled, gripping the rail so hard his knuckles whitened. "Not my Elisa." He took off the glass and left the gantry. Ever since her death, Edician had become better at compartmentalization. He called upon that skill again now, and by the time he had reached the bridge, he was utterly composed. No one would ever know the secret pain hidden away in his heart. No one. Cartographs and old vellum maps lay strewn about the Strategium. Several pairs of compasses were scattered amongst the star charts. Edician stared at them. He had been doing so for the last few seconds. It was coming up to a full minute when Gulero broke the silence. "Without the Astronomicon or the Pharos to guide us, we are confined to short, calculated jumps. Breaching the storm more than once turns my blood cold, Arik." Edician looked up from the charts to his first officer. Arik Gulero was young, like Odysseon, but with wispy blonde hair and pale grey eyes, a Terran seconded to the Charybdis' service. I'm not sure Circe could take it either.
What other choice is there? Asked Gulero.
Odysseon sighed, resigned to their fate. His hands were braced against the table, his fingers splayed across the maps, as if hoping he could discern some strategy by merely touching them.
It would be arduous, shipmaster, said Circe.
She was hooded and lithe in her dark robes. The navigator kept her head bowed throughout the exchange. Her bare feet made almost no sound on the deck as she had slowly circled the strategium table to review Odysseon's charts. She looked up, revealing sharp green eyes like milk jade, and the plain silver circlet she wore around her head to conceal her mutation from the shipmaster and the rest of the crew.
But I am strong enough to bear it.
Odysseon's expression suggested he had his doubts. Circe's body was feeble, drained by her exertions in guiding the Charybdis. An ashwood walking cane supported her skeletal frame. Thin fingers, not unlike talons, circled around the serpent head at its top. We have no knowledge of what we'll face once we jump. You'll be blind, Circe. She smiled, her blade-thin lips curling up like wire.
A navigator is never blind.
She gestured to the strategium table and the swathe of calculations and equations scribed upon several leaves of parchment resting upon the various maps.
Between your cartographic expertise and my sight, we shall prevail. We will reach Nocturne. As Lieutenant Gulero says, what other choice do we have?
Odysseon returned a weary smile to Circe. None, milady. I just wanted to be sure you knew what this meant and that you were agreeable to it.
Had I not been, said Circe, what would you have done?
Turned the Charybdis around. She laughed gently.
Defy the fearsome drakes? You jest.
I do, Odysseon admitted. You will need Ushaman's help. Circe's expression soured at the mention of the librarian.
Yet I do not wish for it. A cloak of shadows hangs about his neck.
Aye, he's bleak, but he's also strong. Use him as a crutch. Circe nodded, composed and dignified as ever.
Is that all, shipmaster? She asked.
Odysseon took another look at the charts, quickly reviewing his and Gulero's calculations. He nodded. Rest. It'll be soon. Circe left the strategium for her sanctorum. In her absence, Arik Gulero spoke frankly to his shipmaster.
This will likely kill her.
She knows, Odysseon replied sadly, feeling poorer in her wake. We all know.
Are you prepared for that?
I am not, Odysseon answered honestly. And yet still I will do what must be done. Through the expansive aperture of the ship's oculus, there was a growing turmoil. Lightless, black, as if the stars had been smothered by a consuming fog, lurked ahead. So immense was the ruin storm that entire systems had been enveloped by it. No missive could breach it, and indeed no message had been received from the throne world since even before Lorgar had created this immateriological abomination. It was a wound that began at Kalth and had spread cancerously across Ultramar, and then the whole galaxy. Few doubted that Horus had already reached Terra and sacked it. Odysseon had neither the wit nor the craft to see the storm for what it was, but he knew that it was there. As soon as they dropped into warp, He would see it. He would behold a vision of hell.
Zon! Zitos had been about to leave interrogation when the Techmarine hailed him across the Vox. Hecht was still in there for now, incarcerated, just as he had suggested he would be. Valkyr watched him. Numeon had left much earlier. Mark of the Sigillite or not, no chances would be taken with the grey-armoured legionary. Much during the war had not been as it first appeared.
Sergeant, came the mechanized voice of Farkor Zon. I have been examining all the data gleaned from my infiltration of Rampart.
You found something? Zitos replied.
I did.
Then tell me, Zon. Don't wait for the next interrogative.
A stream of Vox communication, buried, a pulse or beacon. I have to determine exactly. It originated from the Death Guard ship, the vessel that attacked the Draconis.
Zitos felt his blood suddenly turn cold. To the starship in orbit? He guessed.
Yes, Sergeant.
Was it received?
Every scrap of data I possess would suggest that.
So, our enemies know we are out here, Zitos almost said it to himself.
I am afraid it would appear so.
Anything else?
One more thing. A second Vox transmission emanated from the starship seconds after it received the initial pulse.
Vulcan's blood, breathed Zitos. They sent our whereabouts to another ship, possibly even a fleet.
The former is extremely probable. Should I convey these findings to Brother Captain Numeon? I have been having some difficulty locating him.
I know where he is, said Zitos, scowling. I'll inform the captain.
He cut the link.